Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we climb a molehill,
glide up to Canada,
stay as far away as possible from Battery Park,
and end up by a campfire in West Virginia,
where we check our answering machine. Okay, now it's Friday.
Yes, Friday. Ah, feels good to make it to Friday.
It is a good day.
Every time I make it to Friday, I say a little prayer of thanks.
Yeah, when you get to this age,
you're never sure.
Yeah, another week in the books. Made it.
Limited. Yeah,
that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We're going to talk about music, and on Fan Mail Friday, we respond to your correspondence.
Yes.
And we have a lot of good things here.
Yeah.
I think we can get into.
Really good conversation.
First, I want to start with this call we got to the Suburban Party line. I think you'll like this. This is from J.D. Riznar, and he was our guest a little while back, talking about yacht rock, which is a like subgenre that mm-hmm. he claims to have invented.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he makes a good claim.
And we had him on. We talked a lot about that, and then he took it upon himself to give us a follow-up call. Are you ready?
Excellent, yeah.
This is J.D. Riznar. I just listened to the podcast that I was on, and they were lovely. Great job, guys. What a lovely podcast you have. I enjoy it very much. But this party line is not very much fun. It's just kind of like leaving a message on an answering machine. But I'm glad you have it. Bye.
That's it.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It is lonely. I'll go on there and say hello and nothing will happen. You know, it'll just kind of be an echo. So I talk to myself.
Yeah, we kind of promote this as being a lot of fun. It's the party line and everything, but maybe just to set expectations.
Right.
The real point of it is to leave a message.
That's right.
And then we can put your voice on the show. Yeah. I think we do say that, right?
JD kind of gets to the heart of the matter. It is a lot like leaving a message on an answering machine.
It is. I don't know. Maybe there's something else we could do there. I don't know. We'll think of. We'll take it under advisement.
That's right.
Thanks. But thanks again, JD, for being on the show.
Absolutely.
That was great. While we're speaking of yacht rock, we should say, rest in power, Walter Becker.
Yeah, exactly.
Steely Dan.
Mm-hmm. Founding member of Steely Dan.
Becker at Fagan, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 67 years old.
If you listen to the shows we did about yacht rock, Steely Dan would be one of the big bands mm-hmm. of the yacht rock sort of sound, that kind of jazz rock, very precise, very smooth.
Yeah. Very very well produced.
One of those. So sad to hear that news.
Yeah, it really
is. Okay, so getting back to the emails, we have an email here from Doug Mulvihill.
Warmed my heart, Jim, when I saw in our inbox that Doug had written. Big fan of Doug's, and he listened to the old show a lot, and
yes.
I'm glad to hear he's making his way through our new one, too. So that's great.
All right. Hope
you're doing well down there in Richmond, Doug.
Here's what Doug says. He says, hey, guys, hope you are doing well.
Yeah, thank you, Doug.
It's like you're talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Happy to see some yacht rock themed shows. It's always been a favorite of mine, long before it was classified as such. Although I need to say that I disagreed quite a bit with your expert guest. I know he invented the term and all, but I still think his definition isn't quite right. And he lost all credibility when he said that Steely Dan is, quote, too edgy. Wow. Steely Dan is the lamest, worst band ever. They basically invented elevator music, and he calls them too edgy? Anyway, yacht rock to me is the light AM radio California sound of the mid to late 70s. It stopped in 1980 for me, probably because that's when I moved on from AM radio hits to rock. Yacht rock pretty much sucks, but I enjoy it because it was the music of my youth. I listen to this Sirius channel often.
Interesting. I think there is sort of that element of yacht rock where people know it's not great music, but they like it for other reasons. It has sentimental value for me.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Just leave that over there.
I think that's about it. All right. So thank you for that email, Doug. And then, but then he goes on. Do you want to get the second part here? He makes a band recommendation.
I'm so glad he went on because he recommends that we listen to a band called Lee Baines III and the Glory Fires, an album called Youth Detention. And Doug, in his astute way, likens it I quote, Southern Titus Andronicus, but with much stronger hooks. The album has 17 songs, and there are no weak ones. The production reminds me of 80s indie rock with loud guitars and the vocals mixed low. But the songs are dense with lyrics, and the guy seems very passionate about what he's singing. Give it a try. I think you will be hooked by the second listen. Jim, I have, and I am. It's really a crackling record. It just explodes. I don't know if you've had a chance to listen to it yet, but man, it is really lively. It's a Live Wire record. She has been on her friend.
Listened to a little bit of it yesterday. Yeah. It is definitely not yacht rock.
Wow.
Underneath the Sheets of White Noise off of the album Youth Detention by Lee Baines III and the Glory Fires.
Beautiful
That's a
stuff.
Lot there.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot in those lyrics too. And
yeah.
And I like those bands when it's done well, where the lyrics are just very dense. Like there's so much in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they, but yet they take the time to sort of enunciate,
yeah.
right? Like I think Jeff Rosenstock is like that.
I was going to say Rosenstock crops up when you listen to this
That's
record
right.
a little bit. Titus definitely does.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
I even in some ways a band like the Mountain Goats,
yeah.
you know,
sure.
maybe not musically the same, but mm-hmm. sort of like in approach kind of similar, right?
Yeah, and Doug definitely said it right, and you can hear it there when they kicked into the chorus or the bridge, whatever that was, where the vocals are struggling to get out from underneath the weight of the guitars, but man, it's well worth it.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Genius. Thank you so much, Doug. Give us more. I'll take all of that you got.
Awesome. Okay. Now, we got another email here from Gerald Chazinski.
Yes.
From Canada.
Canada.
He says... This is in reference to when we did an episode we called Throwback Thursday,
yeah.
where we talked about songs from, you know, back in the day, songs
yeah.
from our youth. He says, greetings, gentlemen who are makers of excellent podcasts.
Thank you.
I hope you are well. We are well. I had to laugh listening to the Throwback Thursday podcast the other day when the Eurogliders were brought up. This is becoming like the new like house band of Rock in the Suburbs.
I'm laughing now.
He says, last year I went through an exercise of converting old VHS tapes to digital files.
Hmm.
This included some recorded off MTV, parentheses, via Much Music in Canada. Much Music was like the Canadian MTV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. He says, I love the fact that I have Live Aid for the most part. Unfortunately, I don't have the Led Zeppelin part.
Bummer.
I believe this is when I went to a friend's house to watch the end, and I figured the VCR would not let me down. I did not account for others being in the house.
Sigh.
He says, I also have the MTV New Year's Eve bash from 1984 going into 1985.
Mm-hmm.
There was a number of great performances, Joan Jett, UB40, General Public, Frankie Goes to Hollywood, each doing multiple songs. But of course, the show would not have been complete without the Eurogliders.
Yes.
I watched Heaven saying, what a great song, and kept watching as the band played another three or maybe four songs. I sat with a blank expression. When it fortunately ended, I said to my daughter, no wonder they had only one hit.
Oh, man.
He says, yes, MTV was plugging what a great year 1985 was going to be for the Eurogliders.
Sure.
I guess it did start off with a bang, firecracker size, not dynamite size, but quickly disappeared. Here I was thinking I was the only person who remembered Heaven must be there. Oh, how wrong I was.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up the great work, your Canadian friend of the podcast, Gerald Chazinski.
Gerald C., he misunderestimated your love of the Eurogliders, I think, as a lot of us did. But thanks for sharing that, Gerald. That was cool, man. I like it when somebody picks up on a little quirky thing we do and really takes it to the next level.
It's funny to me, you know, as I was sort of having this like hazy memory of going to this Euroglider show when I was in high school. And why did I do that? And what prompted me? It might have been this New Year's Eve show on MTV. It very well could have been. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, too, is just the reaction we've gotten from people like Gerald and others. Bud Verge was one of sort of like, I can't believe you're talking about the Eurogliders. I remember that band, too. So that, right. I think that's great when you can sort of like touch that one thing that probably everybody thought they were the only one who knew of this band.
Yeah.
Right.
And I will say this about VHS tapes. My friend Andy had a cassette recording, a VCR recording of the movie St. Elmo's Fire. Familiar with the movie?
Of course.
And unfortunately, we watched it many, many times, but there's one part where somebody, and I don't know why they did this or if it was on purpose, but I believe it was on purpose, during a key part of the movie, suddenly it stops. And you're a fan of NFL history, right, Jim? There was a play in NFL history where Jim Marshall of the Minnesota Vikings picks up a fumble and runs the wrong way into his own end zone. Suddenly, that just comes in.
Kilmer driving for the first down, loses the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall.
There's a recording of Jim Marshall picking up the ball and running the wrong way in the middle of St. Elmo's Fire. So I can understand how missing a key part of a movie is painful.
Yes. I like what he said, too, about he did not account for others being in the house because, right. You know, that VCR was not necessarily just under your control. And it wasn't like we all now, you know, many of us have like DVRs that can record like six shows at a time
exactly,
or whatever.
On your own account. Yeah.
You can set it. And you never have to worry about it.
No, nobody messes with my Netflix account.
That's
if
right.
I'm watching Wet Hot American Summer, I can pick up wherever
right.
I left
That's
off.
Right. Okay. All right. So let's take a little break. Let's promote something.
Okay.
We'll come back with some more Fan Mail Friday.
Sounds good.
Okay. So speaking of our fans.
Yeah.
One of our fans is a guy in Knoxville, Tennessee, named Randall Brown.
I'm proud that he's our fan.
Yes, I am too. And then we are fans of his band.
Yes, we are.
The band is called Quart Jar,
mm-hmm.
and they provide the theme music that you hear at the beginning of our show
yes.
every day.
Mm-hmm. Every day.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they also have like a few albums, the most recent being Squatch and Odyssey in Space and Time.
It's a fantastic record.
They're sort of a hard rocking, kind of trippy power trio.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, their influences range from the Flaming Lips right back to some, you know, like Thin Lizzy and classic hard rock bands of the 70s. It's an intoxicating brew.
That's right. So we would love for you to support Quart Jar. You can hear them on many of the streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
You can also visit their website, quartjar42.com, and you can find all about You can find out all about their latest music, where to purchase it, how to listen to it, all of that. So, you know, support our fans.
Absolutely. And as you pointed out the other day, Jim, when we had our episode on Letterman, the number one reason to listen to Rockin' the Suburbs is that it has the greatest opening chords of all time to podcast theme music, and that's Quart Jar.
There you go. All right. So, thanks to Randall. Thanks to the band. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, we're back on the deck, and we are reading some emails from listeners, and let's see, where are we here? It's one about Elvis Costello,
yeah,
right?
We've got one here from Paul Trapp, who rocks the suburbs of Omaha, Nebraska. I'm guessing that's Nebraska.
Yes.
And he writes about Elvis Costello. We had Elvis Costello week a few weeks back, kind of the Big Five.
Yeah.
You know, we call it the Big Five. We do five albums.
Yep.
And we were over at Snyder's,
yep.
Which was great.
Always a good time.
Yeah, and Paul writes, enjoy the last Fan Mail Friday, and thanks for reading Todd from Omaha's email regarding Elvis Costello. Nice to know there's another Elvis fan here in town. That was funny.
Yes.
I was hoping he'd recount Elvis's recent appearance in the area. I'll jump in and do it here. Elvis and the Imposters were playing 90 minutes up the road in Sioux City, Iowa at Battery Park, a slapdash stage set up in the parking lot of the Hard Rock Casino. Let me nominate Battery Park as worst venue ever. Doesn't sound
that's
good.
That's not good.
So Elvis is on stage with a wide gap between himself and the first row of folding chairs filled with passive fans sitting down, tapping their feet and checking their cell phones, stroking their chins. Perhaps also. I was watching from the wings with a few others. Halfway through the set, Elvis waved to our group to come down and fill that large space in front of the stage. Our euphoria was short-lived. Security came through and said we'd have to leave, as those sitting in the front were upset that we were blocking their line of sight. We pulled our tails between our legs and slunk back to the wings. In the middle of I Write the Book, Elvis stopped singing, folded his arms, and announced the show would not go on unless we were allowed to return to the front of the stage. Finally, the imposters played that great melody in a loop, and Elvis stood stone-faced for what seemed like a good couple of minutes. Finally, security relented, and we raced back to the front to enjoy the rest of the show. Elvis, clearly upset with the crummy venue, folks sitting, and with his dente with security, went into overdrive, throwing the setlist out the window and plowed through a selection of greatest hits, Mystery Dance, and called it a night. A shortened show, but it was fantastic to get a glimpse of Elvis back in his angry young man persona. Oh, great.
That's really great. That's a way to take, you know, obviously a show awesome. That is not working out very well and make it into one of the greatest shows ever.
That's a memorable thing.
I think, you know, that's especially great, too, because when you... when you're a big artist like he is, and you can, you know, command pretty big crowds to this day, and you have a sort of a big machinery behind you, most artists are, you know, do not want to deviate from that set list that they have, right? So the fact that he can still do that, I think that's fantastic. It sounds like a lot of fun. All right. And then we have a message here on Facebook from Alan Devine. And he says, thanks for the Elvis Costello retrospective. Have you ever heard the cover of Beyond Belief by Lamb Chop? I think it might even improve on the original. Keep up the good work. Alan from Liverpool.
Ah, I'm so glad he brought this up. I am a huge Lamb Chop fan. You know, what an incredibly creative, talented, and individualistic band. And their cover is outstanding. And I'm really glad Alan's listening to us in Liverpool.
History repeats the old conceits. Glib replies the same defeats. Pick your fingers on important issues with crocodile tears in a pocket full of tissues. I'm just an oily stick on the wire, the world of nervous stick. In a very fashionable hovel, I'm around there to be tortured, never be alone in the old orchard. Battle with the bottle is nothing so novel. Soak in this almost empty gin palace through a two-way looking glass. You see your Alice. You know she has no sense for all the jealousy. In a sense she smiles so very sweetly, charged with insults and flattery. Her body moves with malice. Do you have to be so cruel to be callous? And now you find it something to get. You say you have no sense, and now you leave discreetly. I might make it California's fault, but I think Geneva's deepest fault. And I deserve in the barrier reef out of the you beyond belief.
All right, that was cool.
Yeah, that's a very great band.
And we got another email here from a longtime listener, George Singleton.
Always warms my heart when I see George's emails.
This is really good. You're going to like this, Patrick. The subject line was, what does West Virginia, Hong Kong, and Tommy Stinson have in common?
The answer is...
And then he says, me. And of course, rock in the suburbs. So what's the story? Well, it wasn't that long ago that you did an interview with Tommy Stinson. In it, he chatted a bit about his side project, Cowboys in the Campfire.
Yep.
So, as my family and I were about to depart Hong Kong for a trip to my hometown of Charleston, West Virginia, I checked to see what concerts were coming up there. Lo and behold, Cowboys in the Campfire were playing at a venue curiously titled the Bully Trap Barbershop.
Yeah, how cool.
I get tickets online and go, not knowing what to expect, but eager to see Tommy, as I'm a huge Replacements fan and who never got to see them live.
Mm.
The Bully Trap Barbershop, apparently Old English slang for something like sharp-dressed man, was a totally cool venue with no stage riser and just a simple rug marking the performance space. After a couple warm-up bands, Tommy and his uncle, Chip Roberts, walk right in through the front door toting their own equipment. They get themselves organized and plug in, with Tommy providing a stream of funny banter till they launch. The show itself was really fun, heavy on bash and pop tunes. See the set list attached. He sent a photo he took of the set list. But the absolute coolest thing about it was how truly up close and personal it was. I mean, I was standing 6 feet from Tommy and his uncle while they rocked it. Check the photos and note the barber pole in the background.
Great pictures.
Tommy, with periodic help from a sip of Maker's Mark, note the bottle on the back floor, was warm, personable, and really funny. At one point, introducing the next number by saying, if anybody here has been married for more than 1 second, you'll get this song. After the show, Tommy mans the merch table himself, where he continues to be funny and friendly. I picked up a personalized sign poster, a tour t-shirt, and yes, a pack of Uncle Sippy's Spice Blend, which turns out is really good. And best of all, I got to actually meet and chat with Tommy Stinson.
Wow, fantastic.
So, thanks, Rockin' the Suburbs, because if I had not listened to your interview with Tommy, Cowboys in the Campfire wouldn't have been on my radar, and I would have missed a truly fun and unique show. All the best from Hong Kong, George Singleton. P.S. Tommy's Uncle Chip is a terrific guitarist.
Oh, fantastic.
So there's a lot in that one.
There really is a lot in that one. First question, George, how much did the tour poster cost? Please tell us.
Exactly. I mean, that goes back to exactly what we were talking about the other day with Brandy about, you know, going to a big arena show and what, you know, the kind of machinery is around that mm-hmm. and how much they sell things for and the consumerism of it all. And then here's a guy who used to be part of that world. When you think of, I mean, not really just the Replacements, but the Guns N' Roses experience, right?
Yep.
And now he's manning his own merch table. And I think he's doing it pretty happily, too. I don't think he...
He's, when we talked to him, Jim, he really lit up when he started talking about the Cowboys and the Campfire. Yeah. You know, he was answering the Bass and Pop questions politely. And he liked talking to us, even though it was really hot in our little recording booth. But he really lit up when he was talking about that project. It's really close to his heart. He really likes playing with his uncle.
Yeah, you can tell there's a real love of music there, right?
So cool.
And the funny thing here in the email, too, from George was he talks about this place, the Bully Trap Barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
Says it was a totally cool venue, no stage riser, blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. It is a barbershop. I went and looked it up. The thing about Cowboys in the Campfire is they refuse to play any actual music venues.
Right.
So they are doing a thing now where they go on tour. If you follow Tommy Stinson on Facebook, I noticed this a while back that apparently his tour manager or somebody he's involved with at some point was saying, like, Cowboys in the Campfire, we're looking for places to play on the West Coast, and we only are playing places that are not actual music venues.
Got it.
So this is a thing for him.
Very cool.
It's another way, I guess, to sort of keep it, you know, keep it all about the music in some real way, connection with the fans, like George is talking about, and not have all the, really any of the trappings of the music business at all, but just like, hey, we're going to do a show here.
That's very cool.
So in this case, it was a barbershop, but it could be, you know, a garage or something like that the next time, right? You know, it could be anything, right, that you might see this. That was great. How cool George, who, you know, lives in Hong Kong, got to
the capital of West Virginia.
All right. Now, relating to that email, we have a call here from our friend Jimmy Linetti.
Hey, Jim and Patrick. Jimmy Linetti. Hey, welcome back from your vacation. Oh, yeah, and got to give a shout-out to all the Party Line people out there. Let's get that trending, Patrick. Anyways, enjoyed your fill-in host during your break, and I kind of had a great idea. It's too bad I didn't have it before, but I would have loved to do a little fill-in for you, and the topic could have been what the heck is up with Paul Westerberg. So I don't know if you're following, but he's got a SoundCloud account where he's just user 964-848-511. He's released 7 songs. None of them have anything to do with the other. You know, the first one, Hawk Ripping at Your Throat, it's just kind of a dirge about a hawk killing a bunny in Paul's front yard, I think. Got some little peppy numbers, Got It Made with some synthesizer, Feeling Good, but then he kind of has another one, Dead Sick Of, that's kind of upbeat, but the lyric kind of makes me think that Paul is kind of tired of things. Got kind of a country deal that you can barely recognize his voice, Someday You'll Call My Name. Another one, Oompa, which pretty much have to hear it to believe it. There's really no way to describe it. It's kind of weird, just a lot of oompa going on. The last one he released was called Come Hither, which is actually my favorite, and just a great little ditty, and I can see that these songs, maybe if they're fleshed out, maybe, I don't know what his plan is for him. He's got a website called Dead Wood Garage, or Drywood Garage website. So, not sure what he's up to, but it's interesting nonetheless. But welcome back, guys. Glad to hear you back on the pod waves. Jimmy Linetti signing off. See you later, Party Line people.
All right. Do you know
Jimmy.
About this?
Party Line people? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cool thing.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
All right. Do you know about this Paul Westerberg?
I don't, actually. No, this is a good news report from Jimmy. I wasn't aware he was rocking it on SoundCloud.
I read a little bit about this on Slicing Up Eyeballs
okay.
not too long ago, but I didn't really check it out because I don't know why. You know, Paul, over the years, I think ever since maybe about 10 years ago or so when things really kind of fell apart with his, you know, record label relationships,
yeah.
he just started really going like totally DIY
yeah.
and just putting stuff out there, just, you know, digital
put
only.
It out there, yeah.
And there's some really interesting stuff, but at a point, you just, it's sort of like hard to keep up with, or
yeah.
you know, what is he doing? And I'm going to listen to it, I'm sure,
sure
of it, but
mm-hmm.
but it kind of goes back to the idea of like at some point you want something that's like packaged up for you
yeah.
and presented as like mm-hmm. a work and not just like a bunch of things, little
yeah.
pieces of string
thrown
right?
out there.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
but I will listen to all of this. And I here's the SoundCloud page, Patrick. And like you said, it
yep.
just says user 964-848-511. It doesn't say anything else. There's no like little avatar. There's nothing here. There's just a bunch of songs. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 songs. And I guess,
Oompa.
You know, he just adds to them from time to time, and he's putting out some new ideas,
wow.
right?
Yeah, it's like
we don't know where this will lead.
No, little sketchbook, really. Very interesting.
So I'll check it out.
Yeah.
We'll play something for the playout. How about
yeah,
that?
Sounds right. good.
So thank you for the tip, Jimmy.
Yes, thanks, Jimmy.
And power to the Party Line
power
people.
Power to the Party Line people. And I think next time we go on vacation, Jim, Jimmy's first up to do a
oh,
guest host, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to do that.
And thanks again to everybody who did step in while we were away. It was a big help, and we really appreciate it.
Oh, yes, completely. So, all right. So with that, we are Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
You should listen to the show.
Every day.
Every day. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts or Audio Boom or SoundCloud.
SoundCloud.
That's another place you can find us. Any other podcast platforms.
Mm-hmm.
You can also visit our website, suburbspod.com.
Stream the episodes right there.
Yes, mm-hmm. you can do that. That's
mm-hmm.
right. And if you want to be part of the next Fan Mail Friday, or, you know, maybe we can even build an episode around
yes.
a great email that you have, as we have done in the past,
mm-hmm.
Send emails to rock@suburbspod.com. Call the Party Line. We have a jingle for that.
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
The number is 612-440-1984. We like that because we like to hear your voice
yes,
on the show.
That's the best.
And also there's social media options, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. You can find us at Suburbs Pod on all of those.
My idea, Jim, is that every time somebody calls in to the Suburban Party Line, we send them a t-shirt, and it says Party Line Person on the t-shirt.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll work on that.
It may be written in Sharpie.
Maybe if it's $75. You call and you send us $75.
That's right. Then you can get a t-shirt
there
written in Sharpie.
Exactly. We'll sign it, though.
Yeah.
We will
totally,
do that. Yeah,
totally
okay.
sign it.
Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So looking at this list here, is there a song you'd like to hear from this weird Paul Westerberg experiment?
You pick out something. You're a Westerberg
aficionado. What did he say was like
aficionado?
He said one that was kind of poppy, but I
yeah.
didn't catch what he said. I know it's not Hawk Ripping at Your Throat.
No, that probably
one,
not.
And it's not Oompa,
no.
although I'm willing to listen to either of those.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Maybe it's Feeling
what
Good.
What has the most listens?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Right, hang on. Oh, actually.
Like Feeling Good.
Well, Hawk Ripping at Your Throat has the most.
Yeah.
But then after that's got it. Let's do Feeling Good because I
right.
think that's
sounds
appropriate
good.
For the
yeah.
lovely Friday out on the deck.
That's right.
All right. So we'll leave you with Feeling Good. And we'll also talk to you, I guess, next week.
Yeah.
Hit the hay.
You go on a 2-day bender and you wake up and half of Steely Dan died. I didn't even know.